You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
So it's a really historic decision when it comes to justice for the Rohingya. As we know, Gambia last November filed a case at the International Court of Justice accusing Myanmar of breaching its obligations under the Genocide Convention to which it is a party. And then the International Court of Justice has ruled that Myanmar needs to take preventative measures to prevent any future genocide from occurring to the Rohingya who still remain in Myanmar. And so it is a really important step because it, one, not only confirms that there's a real risk of further atrocities happening within against the Rohingya, but it also sets in motion future potential rulings, but also that the international community, puts pressure on Myanmar to really take into account what's already happened. So,
can you just, I guess, we'll start with what this means in terms of defining it? Because is it correct that this is probably the first, you know, major court officially recognizing this as a genocide?
It is, and so. While we have seen, for example, the UN fact-finding mission, which is a independent body that was created by the United Nations Human Rights Council, they found that acts such as genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes took place within Myanmar. This is the first time an international court has rendered that decision. And while normally the International Court of Justice has not before ruled on the case of genocide convention, this is really a first groundbreaking precedent for international justice issues and sort of crimes under international law as well.
What has it taken, I guess, to get to this point?
I think, first of all, I mean, it's pretty, incredible that a country like Gambia, who is itself a signatory to the Genocide Convention, was the one to file it. So you have to be a signatory to the Genocide Convention and also abiding by the International Court of Justice, something that the U.S. Is not doing. And so I think all of those ingredients had to take in place. And, it's important to keep in mind that they didn't rule that genocide took place. What they did rule was that the Myanmar government is obligated to take actions that would prevent the risk of genocide taking place in the future. So while it'll take a little bit longer and potentially years for the International Court of Justice to determine whether it had already violated its obligations previously, it's still important for the Rohingya who still remain in Myanmar to prevent future acts.
What will it take to get to that point in terms of, I suppose, recognizing what has already occurred, which is massive atrocities?
Yeah, so I think what it would take, normally the International Court of Justice would send its own team of investigators. They would document and conduct interviews similar to how some human rights organizations have done. And then they would have to render a decision under the criteria under the Genocide Convention, which not only looks at which issues of atrocities and, things like rape and torture that took place that have been well documented, but also the question of intent and whether the Myanmar security forces or the state, in this case, the Myanmar government, had an intent to exterminate the Rohingya population. But from our opinion, it's not just genocide that should be looked at. It's also important, crimes against humanity, which is a separate crimes under international law, and other crimes as well, should be looked at holistically, which is why Amnesty International has been specifically calling for the UN Security Council to refer the situation to the International Criminal Court, because the International Criminal Court is the only one who would have the jurisdiction to look over multiple forms of crimes.
Let's go back to Myanmar. The ruling is that they have to take provisional measures. So what would that look like?
Gambia said several recommendations to the court, saying what those provisional measures would take, what it would look like. And one of them would be to give the Rohingya the freedom of movement, access to education and healthcare, to find and take the steps to really repeal and sort of give the Rohingya access to citizenship, which is one of the main issues that has sort of rendered them illegal in Myanmar.
And then in terms of what this means, is the Myanmar government, for example, going to be persecuted at all, or will there be consequences?
Ultimately, in a couple of months, the Myanmar government is going to have to present a case for what steps they've taken to sort of abide by this provisional measures ruling. But then in terms of consequences, I mean, unfortunately, the enforcement mechanisms really depend on all international states to help enforce this ruling. Unfortunately, the Myanmar government has shown no interest in and sort of denied the ruling of the International Criminal Court of Justice. I think we'll have to wait and see what happens next. I mean, part of the goal is to that the ruling also not only forces the international community to take more action, but also convinces the Myanmar public to hold their own government responsible in the face of these atrocities.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering in terms of what your point there around enforcing it, because it's gone on for so long. What is stopping the government continuing to do this? That's the question, is they've sort of avoided the concept of genocide in that sense because they've had their own reason, made up their own reasons and that sort of thing. So what's stopping them continuing to do that or getting away with it in that sense while, putting something up to the courts to say, yep, we're taking provisional measures?
But it gets at the heart of international accountability, but also a really difficult question to answer in that, I think a lot of us, we're in uncharted territory. And so a lot of it really does fall on the international community to help, pressure the Myanmar government to really do this. But hopefully this provides the credibility of an independent and impartial court and investigative body that has investigated these crimes. And so I think it really undermines a lot of the arguments that the Myanmar government has made, because, they say this is a Western plot, but, this was done by Gambia, of all countries, right? And so the idea that an African country like Gambia is somehow in cahoots with this Western plot really doesn't seem credible in terms of the Myanmar government's retort. And so I think part of this requires the international community to come together. Part of the reason why we're putting so much emphasis on the International Criminal Court is that the Criminal Court, the ICC, looks at specific individuals, whereas state obligations to the Genocide Convention looks at the Myanmar government as a whole. But once you start to look at specific individuals, then you can start holding specific individuals responsible under things like universal jurisdiction.
Right.
For example, Amnesty International has found credible evidence that at the highest level of the security, Chief Commander Min Aung Hlaing to be responsible and have command authority over a lot of these atrocities. If he were to say, assuming there's an ICC decision, or if other courts decide to take it upon other courts who have universal jurisdiction take this upon themselves, then they could ultimately seek to use their own law enforcement to stop them if he travels within jurisdiction of some of these courts.
Do you have any sort of insight in terms of what this ruling has meant for the Rohingya people in Myanmar right now? How has this, how have they reacted to this, or has there been backlash even towards them?
I mean, so what I can say is that from both reports and some of the Rohingya that we know who are survivors who have shared their views on this, this is a really monumental case. I mean, it gives them hope that the international community is paying attention. It gives them hope that the wheels of justice are turning in their favor. It gives them inspiration for future accountability for these atrocities as well. I think part of your question is what's happening in Myanmar. And, I think there's already been, prior to the decision, there was a lot of backlash already. Part of my assessment is that, like, how bad, you know, this community has already faced backlash for decades, right? I mean, they're one of the most persecuted communities in the entire world. And so I think what really matters, and we should center their voices when it comes to this these discussions. So
to finish then, what is it that the world can do to center those voices?
Yeah, I mean, I think one is the UN Security Council for International Criminal Court, and I think we've spoken a lot about that. And two is really urging international actors. So I think, we've also called for multilateral sanctions against some of these security forces, particularly MinOnline, to be imposed on terms of financial sanctions. I think that would be really important. And that requires, bodies like the European Union, ASEAN states, and the international community to really come together on that. And then just to also not forget that this is still an ongoing humanitarian crisis. And so urging the international community to continue to provide support for humanitarian assistance, particularly access to education and other humanitarian needs to both the Rohingya, but also other ethnic minorities who are also facing the brunt of security forces in Myanmar.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.